you in love with you, Lord, because we are here to learn of you, to grow in our faith, to be built up in our most holy faith, Father, that we grow in our relationship with you, that we understand you and understand who we are in you, Father, and in Christ, with you wrapped around us, with your righteousness, your robe that you've given us, Lord, who we are now and how we can live that out as a believer, as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray as we study your word this morning, we talk about staying hungry, Father, that you'll stir it up within each of us, that we are passionate about you and growing in our relationship with you. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we get going, I'll ask you the question, simply, are you hungry for God? Okay, think about your life a little bit. Think about what is going on in your life, and you know better than anybody, okay, better than anybody else in your house, even anybody in your family, anybody in town, you know your own life. You know where you're at in your walk with God. You know where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. You know if you're passionate towards him. You know if you're giving your all, if you're laying down your life, like Margie talked about, laying it down before the Lord. You know that. Or are you just lukewarm? Okay, kind of content with that. You know, kind of like going through life and being okay with kind of a lukewarm relationship with God. You're not really hot, but you're not really cold. You're just kind of maintaining. Okay, well, I believe that in 2018, you are going to want to fan the flame of God within you. You are going to want to be passionate more towards the Lord than you were in the previous year. Okay, you're going to want to stir up that hunger, because the subtlety of the deception that the enemy of your souls has towards you is at an all-time high. And I truly believe that. I know that he was pretty sly when he deceived Adam and Eve. Okay, he was pretty sly with things like the Holocaust or some of these things that have happened that are horrible tragedies. Okay, he's pretty sly in getting people to do those things. But I think what he is doing now is more subtle and more deceptive than anything else that he's done. I think we've reached a point, I know some of you guys still have those square boxes in your living room, watch a little TV once in a while, but some of the stuff that comes through there is so much, and I'll call it propaganda, not from a government perspective or things like that. It may have some of that too, but from a satanic perspective. He loves to infiltrate and to pump himself right into you and your living room, okay, right into your family. Things that come through that box will tear families apart. It'll tear a ministry apart. It'll tear marriages apart. It'll bring people to destruction. And that's only one angle that the devil is using for deception towards you in this year, in this time that we live in. Okay, the devil, you know, is like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. But I believe that his roar has become like a quiet background music to a lot of the church today. Okay, it's something that, yeah, it's there, but it's just kind of in the background. We just kind of go about our life with him roaring at us from a distance. We don't think that it's really affecting us. That deception is so strong that only those, I believe, that are hungry for God, that are passionate for, God, I want to know your plan. God, I want to know your best. God, speak to me. I need to know what to do on this. I need to hear from you about that. Those that are hungry and passionate for him will be able to discern the spirits behind much of what is presented to mankind. Because we are constantly bombarded. You go out and have a conversation with somebody anywhere in this town, you're going to hear or be bombarded with things that may have some truth to it, but may also include a little bit of deception. And that spiritual discernment is going to be so crucial in this year. Philippians chapter 4 is where I want to start this morning. Talking about being hungry and yet still maintaining or being full and satisfied and yet still maintaining a hunger for God. The Apostle Paul said it like this. After he had been committed his entire life to serving Jesus. Anybody think that about Paul? I mean, the guy was pretty well in tune with the Lord, right? He did. He laid down things. He gave up a good life to follow after Jesus and was persecuted repeatedly, but he counts it all as joy. Okay, because he was serving his Lord. Here's what he said, Philippians 4:11. He said, "Now I don't speak of respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased or subdued, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Okay, if you notice what he didn't say in that verse. Okay, he didn't say that he got full and then never hungered again. Okay, he didn't say that he got filled up with God once and then just went about his life. Okay, he was full or satisfied with his life. He had contentment, but yet he always hungered for more of God. And I believe that's our calling. When you can get to that point where your ups and downs are not based on what you have or don't have, not based on materialism, but it's based on your true relationship with God, then it becomes, I just want more of Him. That's all that matters. And as long as I'm walking in Him and in that, the rest of this stuff is going to come. That place I'm talking about of being satisfied, okay, that satisfied hunger, if you can think of that as a term, satisfied hunger, okay, that's only found when you're consumed with Jesus. Okay, the contentment with life, when you're not anxious, you're not worried or stressed out over your current circumstances, you're not afraid of the unknown or the future, that's not a bother to you, yet you have a hope for your future, yet you have a joy in your daily walk. All of that is fueled by your hunger and your passion for Jesus. Okay, living a life with Him. And I'm using the expression passion for Jesus, but I really mean passion from Jesus. Okay, He's going to help us with this. So that place of contentment is discovered when you realize that there is a tremendous reward, okay, a huge blessing and benefit in seeking God. Okay, some, though, will never find it. Okay, unfortunately, they will not. They will not choose to be hungry for God. They will choose to be content. Okay, and I'm hoping that's not anybody in here. I just know people in over the years that we've encountered that they're pretty content with just kind of nominal Christianity, kind of a carnal Christianity, and they're content with that. I am not. I'm just telling you right now, I am not content with that. I hate it. And when I see that stuff begin to come back into my life and maybe something that I hadn't done has come back or those kind of things, that carnality, I despise it. It irks me. You know, it rubs me the wrong way. I'm like, I don't like that. That's not who I am in Christ. Therefore, I don't want to or don't have to even go down that road. Okay, the staying hungry in God that we're talking about this morning, though, means not just being hungry, but it means that you will act on your hunger. Okay, the simplest example I could think of is a newborn baby. Okay, they come out and they're pretty hungry, right? Doesn't take too long from that umbilical cord being separated, and they're going to do what? They're going to let you know they're hungry. Okay, they're going to cry out to you. They're going to speak up, in other words. They're going to make their request known to the giver that says, "Hey, you're entrusted with my life here. Don't forget, I need something to eat, right? I need some nourishment." Okay, Jesus said, or James, I'm sorry, said this in James 4:2. He said, "You have not," why? Because you haven't asked yet. Okay, so if that newborn baby never cries out, you wouldn't know when it was time to feed it. You wouldn't know that it was hungry necessarily, right? Okay. A little bit later, we're going to look at the rest of the scripture, but for now, I wanted you to see this part, to think about whether or not you are communicating with God, okay? Whether or not you're even praying about your situation, or whether you're just kind of content going through it. We get something mixed up? Well, I'm watching my wife over here. She gave me kind of a funny look like it wasn't the right scripture. I'm sorry. Okay, if you think about it, whether or not you are communicating with God, whether or not you're praying unto God, whether or not you're spending time with Him. I have the wrong one. Oh, it's 4:3.
It's just the end. It's the end of the verse.
Oh.
It's hard to. I had to read it all the way through to
We'll read the rest of the verse here in a minute. You'll see. Okay, a little bit later we're going to look at the rest of that, but think about whether you're communicating with God over stuff. Okay, do you ask him, you know, what to wear? Do you ask him where to go? You know, some of that's pretty minor stuff, right? But some of it is pretty major. If you ask God when to go or where to go or those kind of things, it can be pretty major. It can be a God setup. It can be God purposely having you at the right place at the right time. And so we want to be in tune with him and connecting with him. Sometimes people just go around complaining about their troubles and never really ask God about it, never really talk to him. Okay? And in this area, there's a spiritual oppression that tries to get people not to pray. Okay? Just to suffer through it, just to complain about it, just to, you know, mumble about it, but never actually making their request known to God. Some people like to misquote a different scripture than this one, but it's the one that says that God already knows what you have need of, right? God already knows what I have need of, right? So we really shouldn't have to pray and ask God for things, right? No, it doesn't quite work that way, okay? There is some truth to that. Does God know what you have need of? Absolutely, he does, okay? But that's not the whole truth. Okay, and so you can't stop there and just say, God knows what I have need of. I don't even have to pray. Okay, because that's only a half truth. God does know what you have need of. God definitely knows your situation. He knows about your job situation. He knows about the better job you're interested in. He knows about the struggles that you have in your emotions over the hurts of the past and the events and things that have gone wrong or things that didn't go the way you wanted them to. Okay? He knows about the aches and pains in your body. Okay? He knows about the things that stir up your mind at night and keep you from sleeping. Okay? God definitely knows all those kinds of things. Matthew and Luke even said that God knows how many hairs are on your head. Okay? That's pretty detailed, right? I looked it up in the World Encyclopedia says that on average, the average person has around, I think it's 200,000 hairs on each head. Some of us more than others or less than others, right? And it also says that there's a constant changing going on with the number of hairs. In an average day, you lose about 100 hairs a day. Okay, that's a lot. It is 100,000. Amen. Amen. God knew. He knew exactly what was going on in your body. He knew exactly what you have need of. God knows very detailed information about us. Put it in perspective. Think about what is there, almost 7.3 billion people on the earth, my 9-year-old tells me. Okay? He knows. 7.3 billion, okay, take that times 100,000 hair follicles apiece, but it's changing by 100 hairs a day. Okay, that's a lot of stuff to keep track of, and yet God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. That's detailed information. That means he knows you and your situation. He knows the things about you, in other words. But when you read that scripture that we talked about that says God knows what you have need of, if you read it in full, you see that it says that God knows what things you have need of before you ask. Okay, it still implies that there will be an asking that takes place. You know, as Jesus warned the Pharisees, if you remember, I'll give you this scripture in Matthew 6, verse 8. If you remember that Jesus was warning against the way of the Pharisees because they would recite the same scripture, or same prayer over and over again. And so he gives them this and he says, "Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of, before you even ask him, or before you ask him." But it still implies that you ask God for things. Okay? Nowhere in God's word does he say not to ask him for help. Nowhere does he say, "Don't come unto me, I'm not going to hear you." He doesn't do that. He wants just the opposite. Okay? He wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways. Okay, in everything, giving thanks unto the Lord, praising Him, always acknowledging Him. Matthew 6:7 says, when you pray, right, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think thou shalt be heard for their much speaking. In Mark 11:24, He said again, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Okay, He's implying that you still pray, right? We still need to pray, even though that God knows what we have need of. Okay? Even when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked Him very specifically, Lord, teach us how to pray. And when He did, He said, when you pray, pray like this. And He goes through Our Father, which art in heaven. You guys remember that passage. Okay, He goes on to say that if someone asked you for something, oh, let's back up here. So even when He said, He said, when you pray. He didn't say you're not going to pray. He said, when you pray. Okay, Matthew 7:7 says, to ask and it shall be given to you. Right? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Okay, it's about staying passionate about growing your faith and your relationship with God. You ask, you seek, you knock, you pursue, you desire, you know, you crave, you hunger for the things of God, and you will be filled. Okay, you will have those things by going after them. Okay, He goes on to say that if somebody asked you as a mortal human being for something, that you would give it unto them. And then He goes on to say in Matthew 7:11, He said, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Okay, it's about coming to God, man. It's about asking, making sure that we keep that relationship going. Matthew 21:22 says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Okay, it's a promise from God. There's a very serious and worthwhile benefit to staying hungry for God, in other words, to seeking after Him. I believe in the Bible says that in the last days there'll be a great falling away, that many's hearts will wax cold. Okay, their faith is going to grow weak. Okay, I don't want to be in that group. I want to stay passionate and keep that passion burning. And I pray that you'll determine that that's you too, that you don't want to go that route. You want to be aware, okay, of what's going on around you. Hey, now some people are afraid to ask God for things. And there's lots of reasons why people don't talk to God. Lots of reasons. Okay, sometimes people might be feeling a little bit down, okay, a little bit discouraged, not really liking themselves, whatever. They just gorge themselves on a box of cookies and 2 gallons of ice cream, and they're feeling kind of bad about themselves. And they're afraid that if they ask God for something at that point, He may not answer it, and then they'll be even more discouraged, and then they'll be even more down in the dumps. Okay, they say, I've asked God for things in the past and not received them, so I just don't ask. You ever met somebody? Or maybe you're in that. Maybe you've done that. Okay, where you just don't ask because you're afraid of the response. You're afraid that he won't do it, and then it'll just hinder you even more. Okay, some people figure if they just go through life without ever making their request known unto God, that whatever they receive in life will just be God's will for them. Okay, the unfortunate truth is that we have an adversary, okay, that comes against us, and he loves to trip you up, or he would love to continue, even to allow you to continue on in a powerless walk with God, okay, without ever asking and praying for people. Because sometimes when you're praying, it's not just for you. I know I'm saying a lot about asking, but sometimes we're asking for somebody else. I pray for everybody in here, name me by name every day. Okay, and I'm praying God for something in your life, for God to pour out His blessing and His love and His understanding and all those things that we know the Bible says to pray for others for these things. Okay, so as you know that when you come to God, sometimes He's wanting you to pray for somebody else, but it's okay if you're going through something saying, oh, by the way, God, you know what I'm going through too, and I could really use a little extra today. I pray for encouragement for myself on a regular basis. I pray for encouragement, of course, from my wife and my family and you guys. But I'm telling you, I'll pray for it for myself because we all need encouragement. We all need hope in the Lord. Okay? The Apostle Paul admonished us to be sure to let our requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6, he said to be careful or full of care for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't be afraid to ask God. Don't be afraid to come to Him with what's going on. Okay? It's okay to ask God for things. Move beyond just fretting and worrying about it and begin to seek God for some insight. Seek God for some wisdom. Okay, I love to pray for wisdom because there's a direct line in the Bible. I hold God to it. God's word says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him pray to God, and he shall receive of that. Because God upbraideth not. He doesn't hold it back. Okay? Some of us have to put action with your faith and begin to bring your requests unto God. Be willing to communicate, spend time with Him, and let Him know it's okay to say, God, I know I messed up. He knows that, okay, right? You can say that if you want. God, I know I messed up, but I want to start over right now. He'll say, done. Let's do that. Remember, He said, told the woman, go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her right then and there. She knew what she had done. He didn't have to do all that, okay? But when you do come to God, when you make a request known unto God, there's only one little thing you have to do. When you pray a prayer of faith and not a prayer of doubt. Okay? Don't go in there with that attitude like some people do that ask in a way that has no faith with it whatsoever. God, if it be your will that my life gets better, you know, have your way. Okay? The Bible does say that we're to pray according to the will of God, but the will of God is that you pray by faith. Okay, when you ask Him something, come to Him boldly. Come to Him boldly and confidently and say, God, I'm coming before you as your child. Your word said I can do this. I'm just doing it. Okay, I'm just coming before you and saying, God, I pray for so-and-so in the name of Jesus. I pray for myself in the name of Jesus. And we come confidently to Him. Okay, the Bible says that not only is God pleased by faith, but that faith actually initiates some movement on God's part to grant that request that you have made. You guys know I love Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is what?
A rewarder.
A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay? God said also, not just that, but God also says to you that he that seeks Him will find Him. Okay? Remember that ask, knock, seek. Okay? Proverbs 8:17 also says, He says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me, and you shall find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Okay, so as you stir up your hunger, hey, remember that's what we're talking about, staying hungry, right? As you stir up your hunger and you pursue the face of God, okay, make sure that it is Him that you are seeking. Okay, sometimes we put a value on things that I need a new car or whatever. God, I pray for that new car. God, I pray for that new car. I'm putting my faith in the new car. I'm looking for that new car. Okay, we don't want to do that. We put our faith in God, okay, to provide what we need. Okay, God knows exactly what that is. We want to make sure that we're seeking God because some people are seeking. Okay, there's people right now that may or may not even be in church this morning, but they are seeking, but they're seeking in the wrong places. They're seeking to satisfy the flesh or going down the wrong road. For some of you, down inside, you crave love, okay? So you're seeking love in other people, okay? But God is love, right? And so we know where we should be seeking it. Some people get into or they stay in a relationship that may not even be healthy for them simply because they're afraid to let it go. They're afraid to be alone. But I've never been alone as a Christian. I've never been lonely. Yeah, that's right. Everywhere you go. I used to go out to eat before I met my wife. I'd go out to eat. I've spent many years, you guys know, as a single man, and I'd go out to eat by myself all the time. And I'd sit down, oh, are you dining alone? I said, nope, me and Jesus. Grab my Bible, pull it out. Oh, you're one of those. But anyway, I tipped them big, you know, all that stuff. Okay. Well, I was never alone. Okay, that fear of rejection for some people will keep them insecure about whether or not people like them or not. Okay, I'm afraid they're going to reject me. So what do? They step it up. Okay, they try harder, some people. Okay, they'll try harder. They'll do more. I'm going to be better so that they'll have more reason to like me, right? And they obsess almost about doing better and more and trying to get people to like them. But who loves you unconditionally? Okay, Jesus Christ, the Lord, loves you unconditionally. He loves you just the way you are. Okay, with all your hurts and hang-ups and all that junk, He still loves you anyway. Unconditionally, just open arms all the time. Okay, He is healthy for you in every possible way, and He loves to spend time with you. Okay, that one-on-one alone time was never wasted. Never. Okay, it's never wasted when you're with Him. Okay, and when you get your priorities in the right order, then all of your other needs begin to come into place. Okay, Matthew and Luke have both said it as well, that when you put the kingdom of God first, then all your other needs will be met. Okay, all these things will be done. Okay, some of you are seeking joy or satisfaction in wrong places, letting the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life lure you. Okay, and deceive you into mediocrity, or deceive you into, even worse, into misery. Okay, to be miserable in your walk with God. God never intended you to be miserable in your walk. Some people give in to that lust of the flesh, man. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to go that direction. Okay, or maybe it's the next new shiny thing in your life, so you pursue it without talking to God. Okay, anybody ever, there's a phone commercial out there, I think they even call it the next big thing or the next new big thing or something. Okay, they're just playing on that. If you think about the deception that's in that, it's playing on your lust of the flesh and your lust of the eyes. Okay, and they're saying this thing can do everything. This thing is great and grand and better. You know, people got a $900 phone and they're just pitching that off to the side to get the $1,100 phone, you know. And this one was perfectly good. There's nothing wrong with it. Believe me, I've been caught up in that. My wife has had to stop me from getting a new phone at least 10 times. Okay? But my old phone's working great. It's recording a message right now. Praise God. He's doing it, still works, you know. So you don't have to jump after the next new shiny thing, is what I'm saying. Sometimes bigger and better is not always bigger and better. It's not always better for you. Okay? Sometimes it's the pride of life. You know, maybe all your coworkers are telling you that, you know what, man, that promotion, that's for you. You'd be great at that. You better take that. And so you just jump into it without even thinking about talking to God about it. Okay, without making sure that that's what you were supposed to do. Sometimes that pride of life and having, you know, wanting to accomplish more and do more, okay, God will do that stuff through you, but not in the way the world thinks necessarily. I love the testimony of these guys talking about they came from Kansas to do work in our town, but they're all three brothers in the Lord, and they come in as a ministry, not just doing physical manual work, but as a ministry. How powerful is that? That's awesome. Okay, that's using the gifts that God has given them and using it as a ministry unto the body of Christ and the lost as well. Okay? Sometimes the promotions lead to less. And this is just a side note, but somebody needs to hear it, I think. It came on me this morning that I should share it. But sometimes a promotion is not always the best. Okay, sometimes a promotion, for me in my life, you guys know I've worked a secular job most of my Christian life, and as a pastor, even many times as a different jobs along the way. And God, I'm a hard worker, I'll just be honest. I'm not bragging, but I'm a hard worker. I work hard, I show up on time, I do what I'm told to do, and I try to do it my best. I try to improve the place that I'm at, and I live it out as a Christian. Everything I do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, right? And so you live out your life that way. And sometimes when you do that, or for me, as I did that, people say, I want that guy to be the supervisor. And pretty soon, they start promoting, and I'd get up, and I can tell, man, I could go all the way back to the first job I ever had, and they promoted me from a super building building supervisor to an equipment manager, okay, in the Dakota Dome and the University of South Dakota, okay? It was like, you know, that guy, we need to get him promoted. And then I went to another job, and got promoted again, okay? Started out on ground level, working with people with disabilities. Next thing you know, I'm the head of a department. Then I went to the head of that management, you know, case management. Again, even here in Rollins, it happened more than several times. Hey, big brothers, big sisters, went from ground level, and then all of a sudden, oh, we want you to be the outreach and development coordinator. And then, you know, started going for bigger stuff, and I'm like, no, don't want to do that. I took a different job. Okay, then I went to UPS, started out loading packages, then a driver, then a supervisor, then management. Okay, and it just, God kept doing that. But what I'm telling you this for this reason. What I noticed when it came to my relationship with the other people and my ability to share the gospel and to minister in the light of the Lord. Yes, I was working hard and God was promoting. Some people could see that and maybe that would give God the glory. But for me, on the ground level was the easiest and best place to share the gospel. It's when I'm just arm in arm, man. You know, I'd hit my hand with a hammer and instead of cussing, I'd say, oh, praise the Lord, you know. And that little bit of ministry, okay, some of that changes when you get bumped up. Because now you're supervising. Now you're in an authoritative position over somebody. And for me, at least, I'll just be honest, it makes you feel like maybe you shouldn't be pushing Christianity onto them. As a bottom level, I pushed it all day long. Okay, got in trouble over and over and over again in my workplaces for preaching the gospel. One place they told me to quit bringing my Bible, okay, because I'd leave it open on my desk. And some of the other staff came in and they were offended that Gary had a Bible laid open on his desk. Okay, things like that. And so you just know that sometimes promotion is not always the best option. Okay, I'm not saying you can't because, man, you can share the gospel from any position you're in. But I'm just sharing something from an experience that hopefully will help somebody. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to get back to this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Okay, the scripture that we read earlier in James, it said, you have not because you ask not. If you read that whole thing in James 4, 2, and 3, it admonishes us not to ask with the wrong motive, okay? To devour it with your flesh, in other words. He said, you lust and you have not, you kill, you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war and you have not because you ask not. And then you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust, okay? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, okay? If you're going after it for the wrong reason, okay, if you want that promotion for the power, if you want it for the, you know, the maybe it's the money, okay? How many have done that? I think I've even done that at times. Oh, it's way more money, okay? Sometimes you do it to consume it upon your lust, and God will even grant you because He loves you. He'll give you a lot of that stuff, but sometimes you need to know if you don't get it, it's because maybe you were going to consume it upon your lust. A lot of the great things, let me finish this up. A lot of the great things that you accomplish in life will be directly related to God and His kingdom. Okay, is the new job going to benefit your walk with God? Okay, will it provide you with more opportunities to share your faith? Or will it just isolate you? Yeah, you got more money and more power, but it just kind of isolates you in a back corner office somewhere and you never get to share that much anymore. Okay, is that new friend that's single that likes to go out on a town and carouse, are they healthy for your relationship with your family? Okay, or are they tearing it apart? You know, by the time you get home, it's a big argument because you got home late, or, well, they wanted to do this, honey, and, you know, that stuff happens. So evaluate those kind of things. Are your hobbies leading you closer to God or further from God? Okay, is your genre of music or your movies or books, is it building up your faith or is it making you more carnal like the world? Okay, because if it's being consumed by the lust of the flesh, those things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And so worldly things will make you more worldly. Okay, you got to get that in perspective. Ask yourself. Some people tell me, This is the worst excuse ever. Yeah, but I like that kind of stuff. I really like reading that. I really like watching those movies. I really like. The question you need to ask yourself is, does God like that stuff? Right? Is God okay with that stuff? And if the answer is no, then you have your answer. So if you're hungry and you're satisfying your hunger with the ways of the world, you're going to miss out. Okay, you're going to miss something that God wanted for you. You're going to be too carnal to be able to get it. Sometimes a spiritual message that can be preached, it'll go way over people's heads. Okay, because they're too carnal. They're caught up in the latest, greatest sci-fi movie or whatever it is and thinking about that stuff, and they totally miss what God had for them in that message or that worship service or whatever it was. Okay, it's like the flavor enhancers they put in food. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. Certain fast food companies put flavor enhancers, things in their food that makes you crave their food. Okay, and so you might eat a Big Mac. Okay, and 2 hours later, you're hungry again for a Big Mac because there's something in there that kind of makes you want to go back to that. Okay, I heard that years ago that they put a chemical in the French fries so you could go anywhere in the world and your French fries will taste exactly like McDonald's French fries. Okay, and they make a chemical to make it taste that way. Okay, and it makes you want to go back and to have that again. Believe me, we know. We took our kids to McDonald's once. They haven't quit asking for it since. So. Amen. Amen. Those kind of things, though, don't last very long. Okay, if you ever gorge yourself on junk food, okay, eat some, you know, snacky candy bar stuff, man, you'll be hungry again a short time later. Okay, put some good, you know, beef stew in your stomach or something. It lasts a lot longer. Okay, Jesus says to come unto him and he will satisfy you with the bread of life. He will give you the rest. He will give you the joy and the lasting fulfillment. Okay, so if you're struggling with your faith, I want to end with this. I want to encourage you to pray two things. Okay, pray two things this year. Okay, if you don't pray any other regular, you know, this is what I want out of life. If you don't pray anything else, pray these two things to see God manifest in your life. Okay, number one, pray for God to reveal himself to you. Say, God, show up in my life. I need you. Okay, ask him. Just pray, God, reveal yourself to me. And the second thing is to pray for God to stir up the hunger inside for more of him. Don't be complacent. Don't settle. Okay, don't be mediocre. Okay, without any shadow of a doubt, God will answer these two prayers. And he'll answer them in a way that you will not be able to deny. You will be able to know that God is speaking to you. Because he not only knows your situation, he not only knows how many hairs are on your head, but he also knows your language. He knows how to speak to you. He knows how to get the point across to you in a way that you will get it. He desires to reveal himself to every human being on the planet, and he will do it in a variety of different ways. For some, it might be a beautiful sunset and a moment alone with God. I've had many of those. Or a sunrise. It might be a newborn baby as they're born and come into the world. That changed me on the inside when I saw that happen the first time. Okay, it's things that, you know, maybe it's a near miss in an accident. Okay, some people, that's a direct wake-up call that God is with me. Okay, he revealed himself. Or a full recovery from an injury or a cancer or sickness. Okay, it might be the prodigal son that comes home. Okay, the prodigal child that comes back. Or it might be a door that was shut so tight and all of a sudden it just blows open and it's got your name written all over it. It's things that God does that you will know and he will speak to you through those things. Okay, God shows himself to his people and he answers their prayers, but he is waiting for you to believe in him enough to simply ask him by faith to reveal himself. God, show me yourself. I need this. I need it on a regular basis for God to show up in my life, just to keep me going. I know. Okay, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you, but he will wait for you to ask so that he knows that you're utilizing that little bit of faith that he placed down inside of you. Okay, number two was to ask God to stir up the hunger inside of you for more of him. Okay, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, he wants to bless you. He wants to pour it into your life. They that hunger and thirst for him shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. Okay, remember when Esau was out hunting all day, and he came back, and he was so hungry, he did what? He sold his birthright, right? He gave it up. Gave up his birthright for a bowl of stew. He was so hungry. If you think about that story and what happened, he was out searching and hunting and searching all day long, and he got so hungry that he was willing to make a decision like that. Okay, some of you may be very hungry right now because you've been out searching. You've been out searching and searching and searching for whatever it is that will satisfy you. Okay, maybe it was more money, okay, more relationships, more love, more stuff, more better this, better that. Okay, if I just had this, then I would be happy. Okay, but seeking to be filled with all those kind of things is going to leave you hungry for more. It's just like a McDonald's French fry, man. You're going to be wanting more of it. It won't satisfy for very long. Okay, when some of you, though, when you eat of the bread of life, you will be satisfied. You're going to be filled. You're going to be content with life. Content in no matter what state or condition you're in, you're still content. You're satisfied with life, and yet you're still hungry for more of Jesus, more of God. Okay, let's bow our heads before the Lord. I just want to give you an opportunity this morning. You know what, if I'm going through this and maybe God is speaking to you about your relationship with Him, maybe you haven't been as passionate for Him as you know that you could be or that you know that you should be, will you ask God to reveal Himself to you? Will you ask God to stir up that hunger, that passion for Him? You know what, if that's you, if you desire that in your life, and you want God to stir you up, you want to be more passionate, you want to be more hungry, you want to walk in the fullness of the Lord, lift your hand. Tell God. Say, you know what, God? No matter where I'm at in my life, that's me. Okay, this is me. And just ask Him. You talk to God. Say, God, Father God, you guys want to say this with me? Say, Father God, stir up that hunger in me. Burn those fires of passion for you. Fill me up to overflowing and have your way in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Very simple and right to the point, because I've said before, and I know it to be true, if you pray those two things, God will show up in your life. And you will begin to see Him and experience Him in bigger and better ways, in a good way. Okay, He's not the next new shiny thing. He's eternal, right? He's been around forever. He knows what you need to encourage you, and He will begin to pour that into your life to show you some things. These three gentlemen are an answer to prayer for me this morning. Okay, I needed their encouragement this morning. God has done that. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to go in faith this morning, to stand strong in the Lord, walk with Him, and know that He is with you everywhere you go. And He's living His life through you, and you're living it out as a believer. New creation in Christ Jesus. Created for such a time as this, right? God made you for this purpose. Thank you for being here this morning, and we'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Amen.